Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Harriet Kamek with Down to Earth, and it is Wednesday, and it's going to be a fine day. It's going to be a fine day. I want to say thank you to everyone who is joining us on this broadcast, wherever your favorite podcast platform is. Thank you for joining us. I do want to say a shout out and give sincere, heartfelt thanks to those who came out to support us last night. We were in Brighton, Michigan, and we were with friends of the Republican Women's Federation of Michigan. It's just a group of women who get together to do some good for the community. And part of doing good involves having speakers like myself who come in to talk about the issues that matter. Last night, we talked about immigration and the intersection of immigration and human trafficking. Kind of an inspirational, inspiring moment in which we talked about our own story and trying to paint a picture of what immigration really looks like. In today's world, it's not uncommon for immigration to look like people trying to jump a fence, right, or trying to swim across a dangerous river. But that immigration also involves people like myself. I was fleeing violence in my home country. And in my home, in my story, I couldn't get a restraining order. I couldn't even call the police to come because the police are not structured the way they are here in the U.S., right? So they don't operate with impunity there. Here, you can call the police and they're going to show up and they're going to execute what they have to do, right? There, it wasn't. So there, here it's a matter of public safety and safety of the individuals. There it's who you know and who don't know you, and who is most likely to pay them more money. So I fled violence and came to the United States. I mean, my friends and family were like, you're going to have to go to America to get out of this violent marriage. And I fled violence to come to the U.S. And so my story of how that intersection happened is what we tell. So my book, Through the Fire, for those of you who are listening, I am a writer and speaker, so invite me to your next event to speak. I not just talk about immigration and human trafficking. I talk about violence and its impact on individuals, the social determinants of health, and how violence is one of the social determinants of health. We're finding that across the country. And through my work in the community and setting up, establishing healthcare entities, community-based healthcare entities, it's how I came to the forefront and how I came to realize the correlation between health and violence. And I saw that played out in real time. And so we talk not just about that. We talk about the social determinants of health. We talk about sexualization and objectification of women and how it's leading to this massive problem of human trafficking, human sex trafficking. We talk about the various parts of human trafficking. So invite me to speak at your next event. You can go to my website, harrietkamek.com. My books, Through the Fire, Musings of the Spirit, and Visions are available online at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Feel free to go to BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com to avail yourself of the books that I have written, right? So today on our show, thanks everybody. I love my audience. I love when folks reach out to me and say something. So today we want to talk about who is Greta Thunberg? Greta Thunberg is a 16-year-old Swedish citizen who was invited to the United States to talk about climate change at a conference. And she's apparently leading a global march of young people to focus on climate change. Now, I don't have any problems with maybe in her home country, 16 is a good age. Here in the U.S., we love our 16-year-olds, but we tend to think they still need some maturing. Right? And children, it's wonderful to see children emerge as leaders. It's wonderful to see them making strides, but children are still children. And children still don't have the breadth of experience and maturity that is necessary to be able to have the kinds of conversations that they have forced this young lady to have. They sort of, the media kind of pushed her into the spotlight. And even for individuals, mature, older and matured, handling the media and the spotlight is even difficult, right? So imagine a 16-year-old who is thrust into this media, and I think they should have read her speech a little bit more. They should have done some doctoring right? They should have done some prudence on that and some diligence to determine that her language, the words that she chose to speak, are words that are uplifting and words that are going to encourage the folks who are listening to participate. I think they brought her perspective in because she's a youth and a symbol of the next generation who has to reap what industrialization has done to the environment. Let's all be clear here for just a second. We all of us on the planet, have reaped the benefits, are reaping the benefits of industrialization, manufacturing. Yeah? We have become wealthier. We have become more steadied, right? And through industrialization, it has spurred growth in other sectors. So now, as a result of that, we live better lives. Let's all be clear. So while Greenpeace people and people who are green are carrying on with creating a whole lot of noise, at the same time, we all have reaped the benefits of industrialization. This has been going on. It's not just this generation. So the generation, the millennials today and younger, who are pointing fingers at us, my generation and the folks who are in their 60s and 70s and 50s, as if we're the ones who created this, we're just as much inheritors because industrialization did not start with us. The Industrial Revolution began in the late 1700s. Hello. So we're not the ones who started it. And in an effort to move civilization forward, we had to make strides and make steps. And what we are experiencing in climate change is what? As a result of industrialization. Now, how do you want the world to be? Did you want the world to remain poor, where when they mined coal, everybody was black and had black lung disease? Do you want the world to remain stuck, where we don't have airplanes, we don't get from one place to the other quickly, we don't know what's going on in Sweden or any other part of the world in real time? It takes us months to find out that they actually had a war start over there, right? Is that what you want? Do you not want faster ships so we get goods and services frequently? Do we not want, not just, do we not want airplanes? Do we not want cars? Or you still want us to use horse and buggy? Sometimes when I listen to people talking about these things, I'm wondering if they have any maturity and any depth to what they're talking about. I find that they don't have a darn clue what it is they're talking about, because you're just talking hypothetically and talking about theories that don't make sense. The world is evolving. We have been burning coal and having emissions for more than 100 years. Hello, it didn't just start when Bill Gates was born. It didn't start when I was born. It started before my mother was born. It started before my grandmother was born. And my grandmother is 97 years old. And it started before her. So when you talk about climate change, holding us totally responsible for what has been happening, for the progress of civilization, it's kind of a moot point, makes no sense, because are you going to not want advances? Are you not going to want people to have access to better healthcare, access to better running water and water filtration systems that prevent disease? Are you not going to want people to have access to vaccinations that is going to prevent common infections and common viral infections? What do you want? You can't have your cake and eat it too. We need to start looking, when we talk about climate change, I talk about climate change from the perspective of, well, this is happening. Well, what can we do to change it? But most folks who talk about climate change, they talk about it as if it's a blame game. They're laying blame and they're going to rip into you. And just because you don't buy or drink their Kool-Aid, they're going to make it sound like you're an idiot. I really need you to hear me on this, right? This is how I'm looking at it. And it was evident in this young lady's speech. Now, people are on Twitter all day talking about, people are ripping into a 16-year-old child. Well, who put the 16-year-old child in the spotlight? Talk about that for a second. Who did that? Who placed the 16-year-old child in the spotlight? She's not emotionally mature to handle the subject matter. She does not have enough information on climate change. She does not have the ability to process all that information and put it in a perspective and in a delivery that is going to be effective. Do you think she was effective? Do you really think she was effective? What did she do? She made us look at her as a 16-year-old. Did it change anybody's mind on climate change? If the desire was to evoke change, well, she lost that edge. You cannot place a 16-year-old child in a hotbed subject like climate change and expect that there was not going to be blowback. So whoever thought of that good idea, well, thanks to you, you remind us of what picture the Nazis used to use of little white girls who are the picture of what they consider to be white. So thank you very much. Somebody on my YouTube channel has something to say. You're like, well, we all want clean water and air, but the earth has only warmed 1 degree in the last 100 years. Can you say amen? Thank you. If the earth has only warmed 1 degree in the last 100 years, what's all this fight about? This is as a result. All this stuff is as a result of the progress of civilization. And my thing is, do you still want to talk to someone using an old rotary line, an old rotary phone, and wait for a telegram to arrive? Or do you want to send a text message to someone's phone from anywhere in the globe? Do you want to use WhatsApp to communicate with people in different parts of the world who may not have a Facebook Messenger on their device? What is it that folks really want? Do you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying, Raven? It's mind-blowing, isn't it? Why would you place a 16-year-old child in the midst of that? Now, is climate change real? You're going to have some effects. You have to look at the way our modern life is, that it is going to leave some impact on the climate. A generation ago, they did. 2 generations ago, they did. 3 generations ago, they did. And if what she's saying is, well, you guys have to fix it now by implementing change, well, any kind of change is going to do what? It's going to slow down progress. Now, I am not an advocate for not having legislation, especially with coal mining. I still think they need to find better ways of mining coal. I'm not even sure if coal is not the only form of energy. We can move away from that. We can do better than that. People don't have to have black lung disease today. So we can move away from coal in the way, in the respect that they mine it. However, we still need to have more than one sources of energy. What if something happens? What are you going to do? Just sit there and say, oh my God, well, we only had the cleanest form of energy was wind, or the cleanest form of energy. They've been talking about using wind as energy from I was a kid, from, you know, my grandmother would say, from Whoppy Killed Philip. So it's been a while, right? But I think they have caught up in idealism so much so that they have lost their perspective, right? And I think, people in Sweden might have thought it was cute. Oh, look at this pretty little girl and this sweet little girl who is so knowledgeable about climate change. And you know, Barack Obama said, well, look at the younger generation leading us to climate change. I'm like, that's an ideology. It has become its own ideology. Is that what we want? We don't want ideology. We want solutions. There are people who still have running bad drinking water, people who still don't have running water, right? People who still don't have resources like vaccinations to give to newborn children. People in the world are still dying from diseases today that they died from 100 years ago. We as a civilization, human beings, humanity, we have to keep it moving. Unfortunately for others, America is at least 250 years ahead of the game. So we've had some time. The American economy has been leading the world since 1871. Feel me? It's been a while. We have had issues with We have eliminated and wiped out a lot of diseases in this country that are no longer a problem to the people here. As a nation, America can feed all the people in its borders, all 363 million people. We can feed every last jack one of us. We throw out so much food, it's a shame. We have running water for every person in this nation. We have energy for every person, and we definitely have healthcare. So we're 250 years ahead of most nations of the world. And I dare say so are our European counterparts. So what's your problem? What's their problem? Right, Raven? Right? Let me see what Raven is saying. The Democrats want to put fear in people so they will be elected. I'm beginning to think that, like I said, Raven, it has become an ideology. I was with climate change until some of it doesn't make sense, right? You want advances. You want progress. But at the same time, you think that there's not a price to pay. We all want cell phones. Cell phones are an effective way to communicate. Cell phones are so effective, we realize that we're in our house, we don't even need landline phones anymore. Who needs that? We don't need that because everybody talks to everybody. So if you live in a house that is of any size, you don't bother calling people, you just text them to show up. So that's progress, right? So do we want progress or do we want to stay the same and wear pigtails all day and go take the water from the well to go flush the pit latrine? Or do we want progress? Do you see what I'm saying? Let me see what somebody else is saying. Raven is on my team. Hey, that's my friend, Mr. Gavinson. How are you? Right? I'm not saying President Trump is all correct. I think he has missed the boat in a lot of ways. But at the same time, there is a balance, right? And the balance is that you have to balance progress with change. Change is going to come. We can't stay the same like we did 100 years ago. We didn't have enough heat to heat our homes. We didn't have heated motor vehicles to transport people. Recently here in Michigan, right? I think it was in northern Michigan. We still have an Amish population who lives within their sector. They don't choose to interact with us because that's the way they love their culture and that's the way they love their little society, right? The Amish. We all love them because we're like, hey, man, it works for you. I agree with you. Some of the stuff we do is way too fast. Okay. Well, you know what happened recently? A car, this is like the second time this year, a car hit a horse, an Amish horse and buggy, and killed everybody in the horse and buggy. That's civilization calling. That's civilization saying to the Amish, you need to have better ways to transport your people because you're interacting now with the society that has fast-moving vehicles, and your fast-moving vehicles is never going to win in the fight. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's civilization calling, right? Let me see what you're saying. You both Republican. I always thought this was a liberal channel. I'm everybody. I talk about everything, right? I talk about everything. So if you think about it, and my followers, they're having their own conversation here about Flint water crisis. They're on a whole other thing that I don't even have. I'm not even part. Are you guys with me or are you in your own conversation? Two of my followers, Raven Bishop and Gavinson, they're having their own conversation. I dare say they're probably going to get into it in just a minute, which is all good. It's all good. But do you guys see what I'm saying? We got to get to the stage where we have to look at this from a whole different perspective. And placing this 16-year-old child in the midst of it probably was not the smartest thing. You see what I mean? It probably wasn't the smartest thing. I tend to talk back at you guys because I don't type fast enough. So forgive me. Just forgive me, right? But you can hear me, and that's what's important. But I frankly think that we need to look at this from a whole different perspective because some of the stuff that they're talking about with climate change. Look at it this way. The glaciers are melting. Okay, so the glaciers are melting, which means it's going to be precipitous for coastal cities and some island nations around the world, right? Okay, so if we know this in advance, why don't we try to do something about it? The reason they're melting is because above the planet, the air and the gases from the car emissions and the factories have created a heat. It's kind of like an oven. So the oven is warming up and it's sitting over there. It's sitting over the planet and it's created an atmosphere that is warming. Look at it this way. If that is the case, then we have to find different ways to power our system. You certainly can't tell anybody not to buy a car. I mean, a few years ago, I was in a conversation with a guy who had just come out of jail, and he was making strides to, you know, like in one of those coffee shop settings. And he had an interesting perspective. He said that he had been in jail for 25 years for armed robbery, which scared me. So this was me. Look at my face, Raven. Okay. Okay. Right? And now that he's out, he said something that struck me. He said, why are there so many cars on the road? We were in, what was that city? Southfield. Was that where we were? We were in Southfield at 12 Mile and Telegraph. For those of you in the Metro Detroit area, you know where that is. That's a really major intersection. And he said he's amazed at how many cars there are on the road. So I looked at him like, in terms of perspective, what does that mean? And he said when he went to jail, there were not that many vehicles on the road. And I said, well, life has changed. It's much faster than when you went to jail 25 years ago. So he said, before you get out of jail, they put you through this, you know, program where they kind of get you oriented to the society. So he said the stuff that we take for granted now, they're learning to use the phones and the laptops and the stuff that we use. We don't even use laptops anymore. We use tablets and so on, and the various interfaces and how the systems work behind them. You know, you don't just go to the bank anymore. You have an app, that kind of thing. Those kinds of things. Freaked him. And I thought about that, and I said, well, there might be something to this climate change thing because all those emissions are going above the earth. But what does that really, really mean? It means that we're warming up. Is that a bad idea? Think about it. It's so cold here in the Midwest during winter. Maybe it's not a bad idea. Some of these things, CNN and MSNBC 24/7, okay, you guys are going real political there. It's undermining Trump and never talk about what he's done for U.S. citizens. The planet has been warming for 25,000 years since the Ice Age. Raven, quit. Quit, okay? At that point, you stop. Because some people have held on. This is my thing, Gavin. What do you think about this? Folks, what do you think about this? I think some people have held on to this ideology of climate change without considering the far-reaching implications and applications. Do you see what I'm saying? They're literally saying, shut this down and shut that down, but then you're going to stop advancing human civilization. If you're going to stop everything that is progress, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with wind energy because they have been looking into that for 50 or 60 years or 70 years now. It's another form of energy that they think is cleaner and perhaps will do less damage, then fine. But what if you live in an area where there is no wind or you have too much wind, like in Tornado Alley? Do you really want to use that? Can you control that? Or what if you live somewhere in a tropical country, like in Florida, where I live, we didn't have wind. So how was wind energy going to work there? I think President Obama was on a path when he some time ago said that, remember when he had just become president, he gave to each state $5 billion to go find alternative sources of energy for each state. The goal was to make each state be able to provide energy for itself. Here in Michigan, we're surrounded by lakes, so naturally, hydropower and wind is going to be our thing because we have a lot of water. In fact, they even say that here in Michigan, California wanted to find a way to take water from the Great Lakes to pump out there. And we were like, hey, hold up. We never said we wanted to empty our lakes. We just said, if you're thirsty, you can come and have a drink of our water. Hello, somebody. And Arizona, and I'm like, no, we all went like, no, baby, no, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, if you're thirsty, yeah, you can come and get a drink of water. And if you need to fill your tank up with water or something, or maybe you need to wash your car, but we're not interested in providing for your lifestyle of water. Go find your own sources of water. Right? But if you look at it, I think climate change has come at the expense of advances in civilization. And I think that's where we need to move our focus to. We need to say we're at this crucial point in human history where we're making a choice that climate change is more important than in advancing civilization. We still want to be able to, as far as I'm concerned, we still want to be able to find ways in which we can improve the way of life for citizens. We still, nowadays, we still have destructive diseases. 100 years ago, it might have been the common cold that killed people off, right? And we're all nodding our heads. Think about that. A mosquito bite and whole groups of people, whole nation people were just destroyed. Today, the epidemic is cancer. Right, whatever cancer is, they're going to find out how it affects the body, how it affects the tissues of the body, whatever it is. Today, the plague is cancer, right? So I think we still need to find ways to improve the culture, improve way of life, the way of life for a lot of people here in the United States. We're incredibly blessed, right? And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So we're grateful to be here. You know, you have clean air and water. Yeah. But again, clean air comes at the expense of civilization. When they were first starting the Industrial Revolution, I don't think they were focused on clean air. They just wanted to see if they turned the wheel, what the wheel could produce, right? It's a good thing they started, because now we use the wheel to drive, we use the wheel to move trains, we use the wheel to pull up the plane when it wants to lift off, hey, right? We use the wheel to steer the ship, and we use it in every facet of life. So we had to start somewhere. And now we're advancing and advancing and advancing. I don't believe there's another planet out there that you can live on. I believe there are other beings on other planets. I think there are. They look creepy, but they might exist. I don't know if they look like you and I. Right? I don't know if they would operate like you and I. But at the same time, I think we should spend our time focusing on how the warming of the planet, what it contributes to. I think that's what we need to focus on. If the glaciers are melting, as the evidence is suggesting, NASA has the pictures, the National Institute of Oceanographic Sciences, they have all these pictures to prove to us that this is happening, then we need to pay attention to that. We need to pay attention to the effects of it. We know what the cause is. We all know. It's the expense of civilization. Well, what can we do to fix it? Do we need to get people out of the way? Do we need to understand that some nations might not exist in the way that we traditionally know them? What do we need to do to fix it? Ideas emanating from her speech that sounded like it was an idea. I didn't hear that. It sounded more like slap you on the wrist, you are immature. I'm like, girl, you're 16 years old. How are you telling people who are smarter and older that they're immature? Do you see what I mean? So it's not anybody coming. This is Harriet Kamek with Down to Earth. I'll be right back. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Harriet Kamek with Down to Earth. So it's not as if anybody was, coming at her or people. No, she put herself in the spotlight to call out people, mature leaders, to say, you're immature. And the optics didn't look good when they were coming back at her. Perception is everything in politics and in marketing and in life. But at the same time, folks, at the same time, we need to be able to have plausible solutions. Yes, the glaciers are melting, but how long did it take to melt? It's been a few hundred years, right? So now that the glaciers are melting, so that means the oceans are rising. Because the oceans, whether we like it or not, it's inconceivable to us to think, but the oceans are a basin of water. They're just really big basins of water, right? That's all. It's a cavity where the water is. We just can't see it, right? It's just like here in the Great Lakes. We have lakes. When I first moved to Michigan in 2003, the thing they were talking about at that time was that the water, the lake levels had been decreasing through drought and dry, arid conditions and so on. Well, over time, well, now we have a situation where the lake levels have risen beyond comfortable levels because of climate change. Is that why? No, because we just had more snow. And if we have snow as we did in the last two seasons, rest assured by spring, we're going to have those lake levels are going to come over even more than they did this last time. I hope it doesn't rain during October. I sincerely hope it doesn't, because there would be some flooding, right? For the first time, we're becoming conscious that, okay. And we have a lot of folks who live on the lake. You know, here in Michigan, it's part of the lifestyle to have a lakefront property, to be on the water. So the lake levels are rising as a result of more snow, you know, emanating from more precipitation in the atmosphere, blah, 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 that makes it freeze when it falls and it becomes snow. When it's warm, it becomes rain. We get that. But I'm Raven and Gavinson, frankly, guys, I'm not of the opinion that we need to just pull civilization to a stop just so some people can say, hey, have a win. We probably need to invest in more ways of moving large groups of people around. Probably in urban areas, we need to move people into, you know, use mass transit more. So like in Atlanta, everybody's been to Atlanta, right? In Atlanta, on the outskirts of Atlanta, to get into the city is a nightmare. So they have 8-lane freeways in both directions, right? And so to move people around, some corporations have buses that pick up their people in certain areas. So if they find that they have 50 people living in one area, they send a bus that everyone contributes to, and you get on the bus, you park your car, you get on the bus and you drive instead of 50 people on the freeway and can't get to work no matter what time you leave because the traffic is so bad. In those kinds of scenarios, I think we need to employ more solutions that are applicable and that work, right? And people are obviously going to get on the bus because it's convenient for them. They might not be the parent who has to go to daycare to pick up a child or check on an aging parent, depending on their schedule and what activities they have, right? So I think we probably need to look at other ways. Maybe having buses is not the answer. Maybe we need to have more trains. Maybe we need to have, is it time yet to have flying cars? So we're going to have to build somewhere for the cars to fly. I don't know about you, but I'm not taking off in any flying car in the foreseeable future, right? When I was back at, you know, when I was growing up, I thought that I would be alive to see flying cars because we grew up in the Star Trek generation where everything was just sciencey. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we do today, Bluetooth and handheld cell phone devices and speaking through screens, you know, we can FaceTime, Skype and so on. It looked like something that only could be done in Star Trek. So it looked like, man, is that ever going to happen? It was an inconceivable notion that it would become widespread and mainstream. But here we are today, right? In fact, Miss Thunberg is a beneficiary. I'm pretty sure she has a phone that has something called Wi-Fi, that she can connect to Wi-Fi so she can communicate with her parents while she's visiting, you know, New York City. So I think the folks who are managing her need to do a better job of managing her. They should have managed that speech a little bit better, telling grown world leaders that they're not mature is not a good representation of the Swedish culture, right? That's just not how it works. And to be honest with you, if it were any other child, they would have been deemed inappropriate and uncouth and uncultured. But instead, we're slapping people on the wrist because they're espousing an idea that you sold them and convinced them that that was workable without having done some anticipation. I have found that it's so very easy for anybody to talk, bomb, 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 just to keep talking. But until you have experienced it, that's a whole other thing. And I think that's what's happening now. She hasn't had the benefit of life experience. That was my issue with her speech. I was listening to someone and being forced to listen to someone who hasn't had the benefit of living long enough to understand the implications of her actions. Based on what she was saying in her speech, I'm like, are you nuts or are you nuts? Really? Tell me again. You have to have the experience to see that a lot of what exists today is at the expense of something else because it was necessary to have this. It was very necessary for us to be able to heat every home in the country, not just some homes, but every home, because it prevents disease and it makes your people more profitable, more comfortable to go to work. It was necessary to have heat in public spaces and buildings and so on. It's good for private enterprise that drives the economy, right? But it's also good for the government because there are people who work for the government who then come out and they spend their money when they get paid on goods and services, right? So we saw where the all-around effect was positive on humanity. It was necessary to have refrigeration widespread because not just so that we could all have refrigerators in our homes. Having refrigerators in our homes means that we don't have to eat meat that's off or drink milk that's 2 days old sitting out on the counter in the heat that has incurred bacteria. Do you see what I'm saying? So it makes life better because now you don't have to go to the store every day to buy your daily bread. You can actually buy your daily bread and store it for 7 days or however long you want to store it for. Most, you know, you buy stuff, put it in the fridge until God comes, whatever, right? And so when you look at these things and you look at all of this and you put it together, you begin to realize that climate change is not only a conversation that we're all having, but the conversation around it is interesting, but it changes. Because if you think about it, we're all looking at it from the perspective like, oh my God, the world is going to end because if the seas rise, certainly everything is going to come to a full stop. I don't know that the seas are going to rise tomorrow. Maybe 30 years from now, by then, we would have had a chance to move people away from those coastal cities and bring them closer in. Is there anything wrong with that? Because if it poses a danger to human life, then obviously we're going to have to answer that. That's a concern. But is that the only concern of humanity? Are we wondering about people who live in a country called Dakar where human waste and excrement goes into the water and people still drink water from that where their water filtration plants don't work and it needs energy to make it work? Do you see why I say some of these folks, they're just standing there and saying stuff without the implications of what they're saying? So you're saying we shouldn't have progress, that people should still pee and poo and the water runs down into the place where they're going to go down there and get this water to drink from. So we shouldn't have water filtration plants that are powered by energy to filter the water so that they can drink it, just like we do here in the United States and other countries. Where I grew up, that was the same thing, right? Yeah, they had water filtration plants. They had water systems, right? So the water was recycled. It took me a long time to understand that the water I'm drinking, somebody peed and pooed in it, but it's been treated. So you look at, there's also something called slash and burn agriculture. Anybody ever heard of that? For years, the United Nations has been trying to educate countries on this slash and burn agriculture. It's the cause of soil erosion in a lot of places. right? Those are things that are practical that we need to focus on. The eradication of disease is something we need to focus on. How can we bring these minds to be able to do more research on eliminating diseases that are common in places where there's not enough drinking water, where the air is not clean? I want to ask, at the expense of civilization, we all exist. There are some social determinants that contribute to our health. Yes, such as if you live in an urban area and you live in urban spaces, you are most likely to be inhaling fumes, toxic fumes, from the emissions of motor vehicles. Do you know what can do that? There are laws that you can enact that can do that. Where I lived in Florida, you get a ticket for driving if exhaust was coming out of your car. Here in Michigan, because the big three control the economy and control politicians, you don't have those laws. So people drive around with their car smelling like, oh my gosh, the emissions coming out of it is unbelievable. That's something that policy could change, because the automakers can make better cars that emit less gas. Say amen. That is what they can do. That is minuscule. So the focus ought to be on what corporate entities can do. And corporate entities do need legislation, but at what expense? It has to be broad-based. It has to have minimal impact on human beings. And if it is going to stymie our growth or prevent us from advancing further, then we perhaps need to examine that just a little bit more, right? Right. That's how I see it. That's how I see it. I think climate change is a conversation that is going to continue for a while. But I don't believe that we should exclude anyone. No. But I also believe that the dialogue has to be respected on both sides. I think Greta needs to go back home, and the folks who are coaching her, I think people need to coach her into saying this is a way to deliver it that is not offensive, because you don't have the experience. That's the thing. You don't have the experience to necessarily tell other people. Tell them maybe you're not looking at it from the right angle. Maybe that you're not looking at it from the angle that we want you to look at it from. Maybe you're only looking at it from the interests of corporate citizens who are more interested in making money at everybody else's expense, because they don't have to reap the rewards of what they have done. They don't have to live. The people who own the coal manufacturing company, he doesn't live anywhere near there, neither does his family. But because there's no legislation governing how he conducts that, then the people around him are the ones who suffer. There are chemicals in the water in some parts of the country. In Virginia, Virginia is ripe for that, especially West Virginia, where chemicals in the water contribute to a whole spate of cancers in people. We need to address that with policy and accountability. Maybe that's what they need to pick up and address, as opposed to sending a 16-year-old with ponytails to the UN to tell the rest of us how immature we are. It's all our problem at the end of the day. Climate change is all our problem, and it's all ours to find a solution to fix it, right? That's my take on it. So go to my website, harrietkamak.com. My books are available on the web. They're available from amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com, Through the Fire, Musings of the Spirit, and so on. Make sure you join me on my other podcast stations, subscribe to them, and listen to our shows so that we know what you're listening to, so we can determine what subjects that are, it's interesting. The feedback is great, right? And make sure you go to the ExodusFoundation.com, make a donation to what we're doing, helping victims of human trafficking. We're really trying, right? Thanks so much, everybody. See you tomorrow, Gavin and Miss Raven. See you tomorrow. Thanks so much, everybody. Be blessed. It was a pleasure. It was my pleasure. It was certainly my pleasure to be here on this Wednesday morning. Thanks, everybody. Be blessed.